3. Gods and Corpses. Oil on Canvas. The instant Madding and I appeared in South Root, a blast of power staggered us both. I perceived it as a wave of brightness so intense that I cried out as it washed past, dropping my stick to clap both hands over my eyes. Mad gasped as well, as if something had stricken him a blow. He recovered faster than me and took my hands, trying to pull them away from my face.
Ori, let me see.
I let him push my hands aside. I'm fine, I said. Fine, just too bright. Gods, I didn't know these things could hurt like that. I kept blinking and tearing up, which made him peer closely into each eye.
They're not things. They're eyes. Is the pain fading?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine, I told you. What in the infinite hells was that? Already the brightness had vanished, subsumed into the dark that was all I usually saw. The pain was fading more slowly, but it was fading.
I don't know.
Madding cupped my face in his hands, thumbs grazing my underlids to brush away the tears. I allowed this at first, but abruptly his touch was too intimate, triggering memories more painful than the light had been. I pulled away, probably more quickly than I should have. He sighed a little, but let me go. There was a faint stir on either side of me, and I heard a light patter, as of feet touching the ground. Madding's tone shifted to something more authoritative, as it always did when he spoke to his underlings.
Tell me that wasn't who I thought it was.
It was, said one voice, which I thought of as pale and androgynous, even though I had seen its owner once, and she was the exact opposite, brown and voluptuous. She was also one of the godlings who didn't like it when I saw her, so I had never glimpsed her since.
Demons in darkness, Mad said, sounding annoyed.
I thought the Aramari were keeping him.
Not anymore, apparently,
said the other voice. This one was definitely male. I had seen him too, and he was a strange creature with long, wild hair that smelled like copper. His skin was almond white, but with irregular darker patches here and there. I gather the patches were his idea of decoration. I certainly found them pretty, whenever I managed to see him undisguised. This was business, though, so now he was just part of the darkness.
Lil has come, said the woman, and Madding groaned. They are bodies, the Order Keepers.
Madding suddenly pulled back and looked hard at me.
Ori, please don't tell me this is your new boyfriend.
I don't have a boyfriend, Mad. Not that it's any of your business. I frowned, suddenly understanding. Wait, are you talking about Shiny?
Shiny? Who the...
Madding cursed, then swooped swiftly to collect my walking stick and press it into my hands.
Enough. Let's go.
His underlings vanished, and Madding began to pull me along toward wherever that white-hot power had come from. South Root, where Sal's Root, went the local joke, was the worst neighborhood in Shadow. One of the tree's main roots had forked off a side branch nearby, which meant the area was bracketed on three sides rather than the usual two. On rare days, South Root could be beautiful. It had been a respectable crafter's neighborhood before the tree, so the white-painted walls were inlaid here and there with mica and smooth agate, and the streets were cobbled in patterns of large and small bricks, with gates of iron wrought in magnificent shapes. If not for the three roots, it would have gotten more sunlight than parts of shadow closer to the tree's trunk. I'd been told that it still did, on windy days in late autumn, for an hour or two a day. Any other time, South Root was perpetually dark. No one lived there anymore but desperate, angry, poor people. This made it one of the few places in the city where order keepers might feel comfortable beating a man to death in the street. Their consciences must have bothered them more than usual, however, because the space into which Madding finally dragged me did not feel open. I smelled garbage and mildew, and there was the bitter acridity of stale urine on my tongue. Another alley? One that had no magic to keep it clean. And there were other smells here, stronger and even less pleasant. Smoke,
charcoal, burned meat and hair. I could hear something still sizzling faintly. Near this sound stood a tall, languid female figure, the only thing I could see aside from matting. Her back was to me, so at first I noticed only her long, ragged hair, straight like a high norther's, but an odd mottled gold in color. This was not the gold of almond hair. It was somehow not pretty at all. She was also thin, disturbingly, unhealthily so. She wore an incongruously elegant gown, with a low back and the shoulder blades that I could see on either side of her hair were sharp-angled like knife edges,